Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Coming off a solid first hour, welcome back, or good morning, good afternoon. Into hour number two, I'm Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loan Studios. In Southern California, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. About 15 minutes out, the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, DeAndre Ayton, will be joining us. Bruce Feldman coming up in hour number three. Phone lines are open. Once again, that number is, and it's more important right now than ever before because it is smack off season. 11 days out, 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking for you to follow me on Twitter, as always. At Jim Rome. You can email me too at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Let's get right at it. If you're on hold, stay there. In the meantime, have I mentioned that it is smack-off season? All right, so the countdown to smack-off 24 continues. Now we're just 11 days out, 11 short days until the television debut of the main event. In the lead-up to the smack-off, I've been profiling some of the key players. It's either a reminder to you, if you're a longtime listener, who these guys are, what they're capable of, or maybe it's your first time exposure to some of the voices that you're likely to hear 11 days from right now. So far, we've covered Mark in Hollywood and Iafredi, both champs, both dudes who know what it takes. We know Mark in Hollywood will be there because he has RSVP'd already. Iafredi, as always, is a game time decision. So we'll see. Today, I want to talk about somebody else. I want to talk about a guy that goes way, way, way back with the program. A guy who literally worked on the program. Another legend of the game. 14 guys have won this event, but nobody has shown up more than Steve Carbone. Now, last week I mentioned that Iafredi has been in 17 smack-offs. Carbone has been in 18. To my knowledge, that is the most ever. And it's his record as long as he keeps showing up. And if you're wondering, does this dude have anything to show for those 18 appearances? Hell yes. 16 top 10s, 5 podium finishes, 3 runner-ups, and a championship. A title that he ripped exactly 20 years ago, way back in 1998.
I'm going to give props where props are due. Props to Eddie the Dope for officially becoming the biggest freaking loser in the history of talk radio. Oh, by the way, Dope, I love your talk show. I still can't figure out why it never lasted. I mean, the same rehearsed takes from this show, the same callers from this show, a bad host, and no listening audience. Hell, you should have been on in drive time because of that. A fresh time slot. 3 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. Yeah, everyone's listening then. You know, and I'm not even going to bother to talk about the cyber slaps. Well, yes, I am. You know, brain dead. You know, I went to the SmackChat board to see if there's any fodder for my call today, and I saw that SmackChat was down yesterday. What's that like for you people? How do you manage a day without SmackChat? Is that like not being able to one for a month? But hey, you gotta respect guys who can sit in front of their computers sending one-sentence instant messages to their buddies 24 hours a day. I don't do any of this crap. I got a job and you don't. I get chicks and you don't. I get benefits and you don't. Basically, I got game and you don't. For the last time, losers, I'm not a clone. Out!
Carbone, full of vitriol in 98. I get chicks and you don't. I get benefits and you don't. I got a job and you don't. And him coming for, quote, Eddie the Dope. How about Smack Chat? Smack Chat. Man, this dude was angry. Really angry and really awesome. And it cemented his lifetime place in the Champions Club. All right, so that was the title. He won that title 20 years ago. Fast forward 13 years. Back in March of 2011. Remember when Becky Black, I can't believe that was 2011. Becky Black dropped this toxic weekend anthem. You remember that was like the biggest thing in the world for like 5 hours? That ear poison. That ear poison was good for anything. And if it was, it was for a parody from Steve Carbone during Smack Off 17.
Trapper in the first hour, Oren in the second hour. Gotta make my mind up, which call sucked the worst.
I mean, Parody Larry wishes he could do that just once in his life. But that showed Carbone's knack for the topical. And that's not all. Like when he went on Periscope with his call back in 2015.
What I decided to do is something that hasn't been done in 21 years of the Smack Off, Jim. This is a first. Hi, everybody out there on Periscope. I'm waving to you right now. A live phone call. I don't need scripts. I don't need tag team partners to make my phone calls. Just me chilling in the office, talking to Jim, running my Smack. And that is a game changer, son. And you know why that's a game changer? Because I'm in the news, sweetheart. I have a degree. You don't. I wouldn't work in scumbag places like you do. Oh, my gosh. You know, no education and no skill sets. Just to clarify that, I have a brain and you don't. I'm on TV and you're in effing trailers. Lose some weight, baby girls. Ball game.
Stevie Carbone, periscoping back in 2015. So now last year he was nowhere to be found. And it was only the fourth time in Smack Off history that he was not there. Because, and nothing's changed, he does have a job. He does have benefits. And he's busy. So we couldn't run him down last year. I'm hoping we run him down this year. And if you think Jeff in Richmond, coming from the grave to take a run at his first title in 16 years, imagine Stevie Carbone ripping one 20 years after his first. It could happen. He's got that lifetime exemption. He can use it anytime he wants. Will he use it in 11 days? And if he does use it in 11 days, given what this guy's done and the way he's changed the game a few times, I wonder what he'll come with if he does use it in 11 days.
Trapper in the first hour, Oren in the second hour. Gotta make my mind up. Which call sucks the worst?
So awesome to me to listen to these calls. And what was topical at that time and what made sense.
Punk asses wish they could join me on my Vegas trip. Friday. Smoking fools on Friday. I'm gonna make love to all your girlfriends. These guys are all worthless. Yeah. Hoping to be famous. Yeah. Punk. Get alive, losers. Rise and fire.
Rise and fire, Stevie Carbone. Parody Larry's just so bent right now. Why, man, why can't I do stuff like that? Smoking fools on Friday. He says something about getting with all your girlfriends, too. All right, so he's won one already. And he's been in more of them than anybody else. Will we see him in 11 days? And if so, what's he going to do this time? Steve Carbone. All right, so John in New York has got a golden ticket. He already ripped it. But what I said to him was, I had better see you back in here between now and the Smack Off. Don't play it safe. Don't be the coward. You come in here and you re-earn that thing or I'll rip it. Nothing personal. I like John New York a lot. But you can't get that thing and coast and play it safe. Lay low. He got the message. He's back. He's here to keep the ticket. The question is, will he have enough to keep it or am I going to rip it? If he does nothing, I rip it. If he comes in here and makes a solid call, he's probably going to be in good shape for the event. Let's find out. We go to New York right now. John. John, good morning. How are you?
Tim, I'm doing great. How was your weekend?
Good, man. Great.
Awesome. I just wanted to call and congratulate Laker fans on LeBron, Jim. That's good news for L.A., but bad news for gas station owners. who will be spending more money on security trying to keep Matt from L.A. from setting up camp in front of the pumps to watch his new-look Lakers on gas station TV. Hey, Mike and Indy, rumor has it that some of those You Better Don't t-shirts showed up in rag boxes used on trucks. If they showed up in my shop, they would be put in the bathroom right next to the toilet paper just in case people wanted to wipe their ass with them. You better should take a trip to San Antonio and ask Jeff to change your diaper because that's the only thing that sissy should be good at by now. Afterwards, both of you can sit down and just cry at each other. We'll call it the first annual bitch off. Let me tell you something, Mike. The show makes you. You don't make the show, you long streamer Yuri. When I see you on the 20th, it'll be like Larry Holmes meeting Mike Tyson again. Jim, that's all I got. I'll see you on the 20th, too. Thanks, Jim. I'm out.
John in New York. So when he's talking about seeing Mike on the 20th, and I'll see you also on the 20th, Jim, I mean, is he commanding it as so? Is he willing it to be? If he talks like that, is it then impossible for me to rip the golden ticket out of his hand? You know, John's like, hey, Mike, I'll see you on the 20th. It'll be like Larry Holmes and Muhammad Ali. Hey, Hawk, have you heard of either one of those guys? Hey, Jim, I'll see you on the 20th. Hey, Silk, I'll see you on the 20th. I'll see all you punks on the 20th. If he keeps acting like he's going to be there and he says it forcefully, is he kind of Jedi mind tricking me into thinking that I can't take that golden ticket? Oh, but I can. I can, John. It's still my show. But I'm not going to. You're all right, John. I think I will see you on the 20th. But you, nah, not yet. One more call, John. One more, John. So you didn't get it all today. You stayed in the game. You still have that ticket. I need to hear from you one more time in the next 11 days to keep you in the field on that day. But you live to fight another day. John in New York. Need one more call. And again, being in the field does not guarantee you'll get on the air that day. It guarantees that you're in the field. It does not guarantee that you'll get on the air. Remember that. If that sounds like it's code for Rome will take the call if he needs the call on that day, that's exactly what that is. And man, it's all about game. It's all about skill. It's all about talent. It's all about what makes the show better. If you can make the show better, damn best be sure you will get on the air that day. I don't think that Lef in Laguna is in danger of not getting on the air that day. The only way Mike in Indy does not get on the air that day is if Mike in Indy does not call that day. And we're still not sure about that. Vic is going to call. He said so. I know Tyler from Edmonton will call. I know Matt in Van will call. Stevie Carbone, I'm not sure about. I hope he does. I know Chael is going to call. Because I texted, as I mentioned, Chael Sonnen last week. And I said, are you still good? Are you still ready for the 20th? And his response came back in 2 seconds flat, quote, come on. And that was the extent of that conversation. Coming up next segment, the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, DeAndre Ayton, center for the Phoenix Suns. That's next. Bruce Feldman coming up top of the hour. Getting maximum performance out of anything depends on exactly what you put into it. For instance, if you want to achieve max performance at work, you put in max effort. When you want maximum performance from your kids, you put in the time and the tools. And when you want maximum performance from your vehicle, you put in Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Modern engines are smaller. They're more powerful. They operate at higher pressures than ever before. So the stress on the oil is stronger and more significant than ever before. You need your oil to stay strong. Be strong and stay strong. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology to help reduce friction and maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to the Kurt Orban test. Kurt Orban. 5W30 Visgrade. My man Kurt Orban.
Kurt Orban.
If he says it's so, trust me, it is so. It's in my vehicle. You should put Castrol Edge in your vehicle as well. Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's Tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, some of golf's biggest names and biggest fans take a look at the top 16 PGA championships from the past 100 years. They make their case for the greatest of all time. Do not miss the 100th PGA Championship, the Ultimate Bracket, on CBS Sports Network. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a center for the Phoenix Suns. He was a first-team All-American, Pac-12 Player of the Year, Pac-12 Freshman of the Year, first pick of the 2018 NBA Draft. He's averaging 15.5 points and 10 rebounds per game in summer league action. DeAndre Ayton is my guest. DeAndre, great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. I'm great. You're a couple of games into your summer league. So let me start right there. What has that experience been like for you so far?
I mean, it's a lot of energy. Really excited. A lot of excitement. Just a lot of first game was a lot of butterflies. But, you know, I overcome that in the second game. I really played my game. And, you know, I really was comfortable on the court just talking to my teammates and having that chemistry already in a matter of just 4 days of practicing. I just really feel good at the end. It's really fun.
DeAndre Ayton joining us. All right, so you mentioned your teammates. After you went 21-12 on Saturday, your teammate Josh Jackson said, quote, "I think he's finally starting to realize that nobody can guard him. Teams have to bring two defenders. No one person can guard him, just always being dominant," end quote. Does it feel that way to you, that at this point, nobody can guard you with only one guy?
Most definitely. Just really knowing my spacing on the floor now, and those first couple of games, I didn't know teams were going to double me in the NBA, but, you know, coming from college, been double and triple team, I know how to look around and know my spacing around the court and know where my teammates are as well. And now, I guess, you know, guys thinking they can stand against me playing one-on-one is just a better chance for me to either get to the line or get a good basket.
DeAndre Ayton joining us. You know, it's amazing to me that already, and you found this out, like you said yourself, well, I guess they're going to double me here in the NBA too. I mean, that's really significant, but what's it mean to you that only two games in, you've already earned that level of confidence and respect from a guy like Josh Jackson?
Well, I mean, it's big time. You know, Josh is a great player. He's a very smart player as well. He's just always been talking to me about how the NBA works and how, you know, the tricks and trades of the game and how it is during the game and what coach wants from me and what the team needs from me on the defensive end as well. And, you know, just coming from me, I always played against Josh in high school and, you know, we always go at it. But now being on his team, I really know why his team always wins. He's a winner. He's very smart. And he's a leader to me as well.
DeAndre, take me back to draft night for a minute. I mean, the expectation for a while before the draft was you were going to go number one, but what was it like when you actually heard your name called and then it was official that you were the first pick in the NBA draft?
I've been talking about it. I've been trying to speak it into existence, but man, when Mr. Silver came out and announced my name, it was a dream come true. And just having that, just being in that moment, and just hearing my name first called was just amazing. Just looking at the priceless faces and reactions my parents made was unbelievable. I never seen my mom and dad so excited, especially having Coach Miller there as well. It was just a blessing. And it was dream come true, just working hard every day. And you will be rewarded.
DeAndre Ayton, Sun Center, joining us. You mentioned your parents, so it makes me think about that journey. I mean, your journey to this point is amazing. We really wouldn't even have time to get into everything you've been through. But as you pointed out, you were traveling the basketball circuit. There were times when you really didn't even get the chance to speak to your mom for long periods of time. So when you look back at the journey and the work that you just mentioned, and you look at that journey itself, what kind of thoughts do you have?
The only thoughts I can possibly have is like, man, look where I came from. Like, I'll always try to keep myself level and grounded, just never forget where I came from, the type of work I've put in. And the only reason why I'm here is because of the work that I put in, and I got to keep doing it to be more successful.
DeAndre, what about the Suns? Now, the Suns have been through kind of a tough stretch for a while now, but there's a lot of positive buzz around that team. You're a big part of that. Now you're part of a young core that includes you, Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, name a few. How much are you looking forward to growing with this group, and then how good do you think this group can be?
I think going with this group can be amazing. We can become something good. We can really make history in Phoenix and really win a lot of games, especially as a young group. These guys, we're very young and hungry. We all have the work ethic. I've seen it in practice. I've seen sometimes in the weight room, guys putting extra work in, guys staying after practice, putting work in. We're just young. We have young legs. we can run all day. And I just, you know, some of these guys have been in the league for, you know, a couple, 2 years and 3 years, and they know the ropes in a matter of years. And I just know for a fact that it's going to spread and be more contagious with the work ethic.
DeAndre Ayton's my guest. You know, you've got the attention of a lot of guys around the league already. In fact, as an example, you and my guy CJ McCollum sat down before the draft for a conversation on the Players Tribune, and one of the things that he said was that he missed a couple of naps this season so he could watch you play, and then after watching you, we thought that you could have played in the NBA last season.
What?
Knowing how much guys love naps, what did it mean to you to hear that he was giving up sleep to watch you play and to hear him say that he thought that you could play in the NBA even last season?
Man, that's big. You know, it shows that I'm doing the right thing and doing the right things on the floor. And it's really great people like him are recognizing it. And, you know, just hearing that compliment is just makes me want to work even harder and just keep on striving.
Listen, before I let you go, let me ask you a couple of things about this. Now, you're a guy with a big game and a big personality, and you know how people are, right? If you're cracking jokes or being yourself, then you must not be taking the game seriously enough. What's your reaction to that, and then how do you go about balancing the intensity it takes to be a great player, but also being who you are?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a young kid. I'm a kid, to be honest. I'm only 19 years old, so, I mean, there's a time and a place for everything my mom always used to tell me. And, you know, when it's time for business, it's time for business. You know, my coach always used to tell me, Coach Miller, when you're in between the lines, it's all business. When you come off the court, then it's time to really love one another, be yourself, and that's about it. It's like getting in a fight with your teammate on the court, but once you're off the court, that stuff don't matter anymore.
Speaking of that personality, now you've got a few sides to you, right? Like Josh, like Eric, like Alejandro, different characters and personalities that come out at different times. I'm not going to ask you to break down every one of these guys just yet, but the story goes, it came from watching Spider-Man and a scene with the Green Goblin. What do you remember about that scene, and what kind of an impact did it have on you?
I mean, just how he tried to, he got Spider-Man's attention saying, you know, he was saying it wasn't him that, you know, killed all those people in the movie. And, you know, it kind of got Spider-Man's attention. He almost believed him until, you know, that little weapon thing that the Green Goblin tried to kill Spider-Man with. But I just think it's so cool that, you know, just changing your personality and changing your whole, you know, will just change people's minds from who they think you are.
I like it. I like it a lot. Last thought, you played a couple of years at Hillcrest Prep. You played at Arizona. Now you're the first pick in the draft for the Suns. I'd make the argument that you're one of the biggest celebrities in the Valley, but the other day you were working out and Diana Taurasi came over and you were, quote, freaking out. What did she say to you and what was meeting her like?
Man, I mean, I was just working out. And I spotted her when she came in. Oh, I was looking through the mirror, you know, when I was looking at my guns. No, I'm playing. But, yeah.
Right.
She was She just came. She just walked over, and I'm like, hey, in my head, I'm looking at her. I'm like, yo, she's really about to walk over here. So I'm just like, you know, trying to lift the weight still. And she just came over, and I just popped right up, smiling and teasing and stuff like that. And she just was like telling me, you know, how much of a good job I'm doing, and she wanted me to keep it up. She's glad that, you know, I'm here, and you know, she's like, we're family and stuff like that now, and just keep up the good work. And just those few words, just, you know, it's just big for me. I was speechless, to be honest. I can't even recognize my – I can't even say my reaction. I was just really in shock.
That is a great story. Sun Center, first pick overall, first team All-American, Pac-12 Player of the Year, Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. I could go on. DeAndre Ayton, my guest. DeAndre, so good to have you on the show. Really appreciate you.
Yes,
great conversation, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You have a great day. DeAndre Ayton, I think he's a special one. Big-time player, big-time personality, big-time charisma. I think this guy's going to be really special. And always good to have the first pick overall in the draft on the show. My thanks to DeAndre and the Phoenix Suns. Man, they've got a good, young core. And he said, we have a lot of energy. We've got the enthusiasm. We've got the young legs. We are expecting some pretty good things here. I would say so. And a really good coach, too. That's a team on the rise quickly. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Bottom of the hour now. When we come back, I've got an open segment to the top of the hour. Then Bruce Feldman, who's great, is going to join us. Top of hour number three. I'm looking at my call screen right now. I see a couple of people bidding for their golden tickets. John in New York held on to his. I don't want to say kept it. He still has to call me one more time in the next 11 days. getting kind of a kick out looking at Hawk on the other side of the glass. Like, Hawk's never heard any of those Carbone calls. You got to admit, you have to understand, I've been around a pretty long time. Even Hawk, who's been here a couple of years, but who's been in the business for several years, doesn't even know some of the smack-off legends. Carbone is one of them. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update, if you've been waiting on that.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Barbasol razors. Yeah, I said it. Barbasol finally making razors. That's a no-brainer. Check out the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save on the Ultra 6 Plus at Barbasol.com. About time. This email is as follows. Great interview, straight fire on a Monday. War Arizona Wildcats, George in Tucson. Straight fire. Remember our horse, straight fire. The group still has the horse, and he is standing. So when they say a horse is standing, he is a stallion or a sire. We were trying to breed two straight fire, and breeding season is over, and we'll see how it went for the first year. Never an easy thing. In fact, Jungle Racing's Gidget Girl was bred two straight fire, which means at some point we will need a name, if all goes well. In fact, we don't have a name for the colt, the Jungle Colt. George in Tucson. Meanwhile, lots of reaction to John in New York. John in New York called. And some of you may have wanted me to rip his golden ticket from him. I did not do that, but I also didn't say that he's done enough. He needs to call again between now and the 20th in order to get in the field. At Smackoff Fan tweets, tell Michael Rappaport to hang up and never call again. John, New York. Day Tripper 20, quote, John is in for the accent, if nothing else. I'd love to tell you there's nothing to that, but there's something to that. I like that New York flavor. Sounds good. He's got that New York edge. He's got that New York attitude. He's got that New York accent. He's got that New York fire. I like John. I want John to be in, but it's not personal. I mean, I could like this guy a lot. If he's not good enough, I'm going to have no problem ripping that golden ticket out of his hand, and I like him. If I rip his golden ticket, it's not because I don't like him. I like the guy a lot. But he's got to bring the goods. He's got to be good enough. It's never personal. Stucknut is in. I have an opening on July 20th for hour one or hour two. What works better for you? Sincerely, sales guy John in New York. He's trying to close, which you got to respect. And the aforementioned Tyler in Edmonton is in. Romy, respect for John. But if I could make a suggestion, I think you should rip John's ticket. Then throw it in the middle of the cage for him, Dan, Luke, and whoever else thinks that they've got the game. Make all of them brawl it out in a winner-take-all event, MLB wildcard game style. Best call gets the ticket, and the rest of the bloodied-up fools go back to Twitter where they belong. Tyler in Edmonton. Ty's good, man. He's good because he takes an idea, turns it into content, and smack, and it works. I'm not sure that I will do that, Ty, but I'll take that under advisement. And found a way to crack on Dan and Luke and whoever else thinks they have enough game, and the losers, quote, go back to Twitter where they belong. Again, this is not an either-or thing like Kobe or LeBron. You can rep both these guys. You're not in any way disrespecting Kobe if you rep LeBron. That makes you a Laker fan as opposed to a Kobe fan. This is not to say that only one of these guys gets in. Dan, Luke, John, they can all get in if they all have the game. But so far, none of them has proven that they're the guy. Anyway, I mean, I could throw it out there in the form of a question. Should I let John in or not? Is it good for the smack off or not? I could throw it out there, but I really don't care what you think. I'm just going to make the decision myself. But if I want to be that guy and that host and put it up in a poll and drive interaction, I could throw it out there. Should I let John in New York in the smack off? Yes or no? Meantime, another week and another Phil Mickelson rules violation. Remember last time? It was hefty stick handling on the 13th green at Shinnecock and then playing that off like that was a tactic or a strategy. This time, though, it's him stomping down the fescue at the 7th tee at the Greenbrier so he could hit a low stinger. And just when you thought that Hefty had learned his lesson about playing fast and loose on the course, dude, yet again, mind melts and gets himself another two-stroke penalty.
All right, the tee back there, Robert, to
sure
feel.
I think it is. I would think so, yeah, okay. I'll ask somebody.
See if I can do some investigative reporting.
All right, he walked up. Oh, he walked up and tapped that down.
Uh-oh!
I was on the tee box, and I was going to go really well. Okay. And there was a few grasses sticking up in front. Right. Knock it down before I hit. That's an open.
Let me run it by the committee, but...
Yeah, it didn't dawn on me, and then I was like...
Had I
picked up my key, moved it to the side, where it didn't affect
where
the shot,
affect
I would have been okay.
No problem.
Is it me, or is this guy looking to con somebody every second of every day? And just play it off with that charm, you know, that Hefty charm. Well, I didn't know. Like, if you were watching on CBS Sports Network, you can actually see Phil go to the front of the tee and stomp down that hay. If you're listening, you can hear him stomp down that hay and then come back to the tee and say, quote, "I'm not sure what I just did is legal," end quote. Yeah, well, it turns out that it's not, Hefty. Turns out you should have asked that question before you went out to the hippie hair and stomped it with your cleats. And while it did not ultimately matter for a guy who teed off like 3.5 hours before the leaders and ended the tournament 18 strokes back of the winner, the big man is finding new and more absurd ways to trample his reputation. Now, most lefty lovers are taking this as a chance to commend him for turning himself in. They're supporting their guy because he sought out a rules official and technically called the penalty on himself. I mean, please. Trust me, dude is fully aware. Fully aware the cameras were on him. Fully aware that he was out of the tournament. Fully aware that he had no choice. Not after that circus stunt that he pulled at the U.S. Open. And let me get out in front of this one for you, H-Man. The foot wedge is not allowed at the Open Championship at Carnoustie either. The RNA has the same rules for cheating as the USGA in that you're not allowed to do it. You can't cheat. I mean, my man's been on tour since 1992. That means he's been playing roughly 4 rounds of golf a week for nearly 3 decades. Would it be too much to ask that he actually learned the rules of the game? I mean, we all know this guy's been carrying around a little extra weight or a little extra around his waistline for the better part of his career. Here's one thing that he apparently has not been carrying, a rule book. My man, your pockets are there for a reason. Jam a rule book into them and not another peanut butter Sando. Come on, man. Dude, you're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer. People love you. Stop making a mockery of the game and a fool of yourself every time you peg it up now. I mean, come on now. Like I said, is there ever a moment where he's not conning somebody? Him just, like, charming his way out of everything. Hey, yeah, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that, right? I'm not allowed to do that, am I? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah, okay. That's twice. That's two for him. Two that we know of.
It's two for me.
Hefty. Don't bring that with you to the Open Championship. Can't cheat there. Can't cheat here. Can't cheat there. And cheating, like you know the old saying, I've said this for years, and this is not something I made up either. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, and it's only cheating if you get caught. This guy keeps getting caught. And the difference is, in golf, cheating is not to be admired. It's a gentleman's game. They take that stuff very seriously. In other things, it's like, yeah, people cheat. People cheat a lot. People cheat in every sport. Golf's a little bit different. It's a game of honor and integrity. Cheating, for instance, in baseball or football or basketball is not the same as cheating in golf. Those within that world do not look kindly on that. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, it's only a matter of time before Phil starts finding his ball in the fairway that we saw go into the woods. Chris in Folsom. Dear Phil, hire me to caddy, and I'll take care of that pesky grass for you. Love, S.J. Parker. Okay, let me try to unpack that tweet.
It doesn't make any sense.
Dear Phil, hire me to caddy, and I'll take care of that pesky grass for you. Love, S.J. Parker. S.J. Parker, S.J. Parker. Sarah Jessica Parker. Sarah Jessica Parker, let's see. Grass, pesky grass. Oh, I get it. You think she looks like a horse and she eat grass.
It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Longley, I have never in 10 years blocked anybody on Twitter. I can make an exception for you. Look at these back-to-back Sacramento texts, or I should say tweets. Folsom and the real left hook, James in Sacramento. Hefty playing fast and loose. I didn't see that one coming. Yours, offshore stockbroker. The good news for him is gambling's going to be legal soon enough, right?
You know, toughen up.
Won't have to go. Yeah, toughen up now. Come on now.
You know, toughen up.
That guy telling others to toughen up after what he did, that's pretty rich.
I don't mean it in any disrespect, and if that's the way people took it, I apologize to them.
But I'm toughen up, man. If I want a stick handle at Shinnecock, that's fine, right?
You know,
he shoots, he scores. Hawk, there will be nothing funnier in the history of my life if that moving camera cracks you on the way out the door. That'd be the best thing ever. You imagine Hawk getting cold cocked by the camera on the track? It's almost like the guys in New York are going target practice with Hawk and they're trying to hit him.
What?
Hey, Rome. That'd be the best. Hey, yo. Sharon, I'll give you $100 if you can. Hey, Rome, we totally get Thefty's reasoning and ability to bend the truth. Tell the truth. Regards, just resting my eyes, guy. Gino in Boise, Idaho.
You know, toughen up.
Wore my paternity time coinciding with the date of the smack off. Whatever it takes. Paternity, sick day, vacation day. Make sure you get the July or the 20th of July off. All right, so we're trying to find ways to get guys in here. It's not too late. 11 days out, you could actually get a gold ticket. Play your way in if you're good enough. If you're good enough. Let's find out. Barry in San Diego. I'm trying to find a way to get somebody from San Diego in. Again, I'm not rooting or playing any favorites. I got my first big break in San Diego. Met my wife in San Diego. San Diego is a market that's extremely important to me. There is one FM sports talk station in San Diego. I'm on it every single morning. 97.3 The Fan. Nothing would make me happier than to get somebody from the old stomping grounds into the field for the smack off. Is it this guy? Barry in San Diego. Barry, good morning. Rome. How are you? What's up?
Hey, great to hear you and Sills in the morning. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I just want to throw my hat in the ring and say, Jeff in Richmond, glad to hear about the big find. Your whole entire estate on short sale in the dumpster behind Toys R Us. Even Barbie didn't want it back. Now, to the Laker fans who are hating on LeBron, what? Do us both a favor. Take all that frustration. Head on over to Carson and visit the Spanises. They're great at working things out. Now, for Mona, the super nurse who battles cancer or beat cancer and abuse and bullets all while nursing in the ER, remember, whether you're in the hospital or in the jungle, every nurse has got to answer to the doctor. And that's me, Dr. B-Man SD. Bow down!
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Doc, I don't want to point the finger at somebody else. I didn't run you like that. Alvin did, though. Alvin. Alvin ran you because you did violate a rule. And it wasn't even like it was in poor form to take a run at Mona. And I've got a feeling that I don't need to defend Mona. Mona can handle herself because Mona has beaten cancer. Mona was shot. Mona was a victim of domestic violence. Mona can fly a helicopter, apparently. Mona is an ER nurse, so I don't need to take up for her. Mona can handle herself. Although, I don't know why you want to take a run at somebody who had all those things happen to her, who already has a golden ticket, except you hate the fact that she's got a golden ticket. Either way, that's not why you got run. You got run because you self-glossed. You can't do that. Now, if we want to gloss you the doctor, so be it. What was that exact line? You may be the nurse, but every nurse has to answer to a doctor, and I'm Dr. B and SD. Is that what he said? Dr. B, man. All right, Barry. You're still in this game, Barry. Am I the only one who thought that was parody Larry for a minute? Either way, Barry, keep coming, my man. You're not out of this thing. You got run today for self-glossing. Now you've got 10 more days. You can still get in. You mentioned the fact that I'm on with Dan Cilio in the morning. Every single morning, like at 8:10 a.m., we have a little talk back. Talk about what I'm going to do on the show today. It's fun. San Diego. San Diego! Wait, what? We're out of time. All right, when we come back, Bruce Feldman. Thank you, Albie. Bruce Feldman joins us. Lots more to get to in the third hour. I've got content for days, takes for days, open phone lines, and a strong third hour to wrap this thing. But first, Bruce Feldman. That's next. Don't go anywhere.